Happy Sunday, and good afternoon. Thank you for joining our program. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is Reflections. For the next half hour, I'm going to be reading to you from the Holy Bible and from a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. We are going to conclude, I think we'll conclude today, may go into next week, Genesis. We will pick up with chapter 43, but as we always do, we start with prayer, and we ask the Heavenly Father to please bless our audience, our listening audience. Lord, please be with them and help them and guide them and protect them from all things, in all things. Lord, you are the giver of life and the giver of light in all good things. Father, thank you. We thank you for our families and our loved ones. We thank you for the beautiful day that we have today. Whether it's raining or cloudy or sunshine, it is a beautiful day because you created it, and it is the way it is because you ordained it. Father, we ask that the words spoken today may speak to us, speak to our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Speak to us that we may give you glory and praise and honor. Speak to us that we may become strong believers in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was raised from the dead that we may have a new life. Thank you, Father, for the North Carolina Reading Service, the fine people that run it and operate it and volunteer at the organization, to bring programs like this and many, many others. Lord, we are so appreciative of your love and your kindness, and we thank you. We thank you again for Jesus, your Son. Amen. Sarah Young teaches us on this 21st day of February, trust and thankfulness will get you safely through this day. Trust protects you from worrying and obsessing. Thankfulness keeps you from criticizing and complaining, those sister sins that so easily are entangled. Keeping your eyes on me is the same thing as trusting me. It is a free choice that you must make thousands of times a day. The more you choose to trust me, the easier it becomes. Thought patterns of trust become etched into your brain. Relegate troubles to the periphery of your mind so that I can be central in your thoughts. Thus you focus on me, entrusting your concerns into my care. So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with faithfulness. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And Psalms 141:8 says, but my eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. And then Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Thank you, Miss Young. Beautiful words. Beautiful words. And we pick up today with Genesis 43, and if you recall, last week we were really got into the meat of Joseph. Joseph was down in Egypt, and he had been imprisoned. He was fraudulently accused of trying to sexually harass someone's wife, and he was put into prison. He was taken out of prison, though, when he interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was so enamored with his wisdom, Joseph's wisdom, that he put him in charge of everything. And that's where we kind of pick it up. Joseph had Egypt had 7 years of great harvest, and then 7 years of famine. And now Joseph's brothers had come to Egypt to try to buy grain, and they bowed before Joseph. And if you recall, a few weeks ago, when Joseph was telling his brothers a dream, in one of those dreams, it said that they will all bow to him. Well, this certainly did happen about 14 or 15 years later. They did not recognize Joseph. Joseph certainly recognized them. And they sent, Joseph sent his brothers back to Canaan, to their father Jacob, to go get his brother Benjamin. And of course, the brothers didn't know this, and they're nervous. And when we last left the story last week, I think Jacob was not sure what to do. He didn't want to give up his son Benjamin, his last son of Rachel, his beloved wife. So we'll pick up chapter 43, and it's entitled "The Second Journey to Egypt." Now the famine was still severe in the land, so when they had eaten all the grain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go back and buy us a little more food." But Judah said to him, "The man warned us solemnly, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy some food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, "You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you."'" Israel asked, again, Israel is the name God gave to Jacob, "Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling me the man you had, that you had another brother?" They replied, "The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. 'Is your father still living?' he asked us. 'Do you have another brother?' We simply answered his questions. How were we to know what he would say? 'Bring your brother down here.'" Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, we have not delayed. We could have gone and returned twice." Then their father Israel said to them, "If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift, a little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into your put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once, and may God Almighty grant you grace and mercy before the man, and may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, I am bereaved. So the men took the gifts and doubled the amount of silver, and Benjamin as well. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare dinner. They are to eat with me at noon." The man did just as Joseph had told him, and took the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, "We were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks at the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys." So they went up to Joseph's steward and spoke to him at the entrance of the house. "Please, sir," they said, "we came down here for the first time to buy some food. But at the place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks and each of us found his silver, the exact weight in the mouth of our sack. So we have brought that back with us. We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. We don't know who put the silver in our sacks." "It's all right," he said. "Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver. Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They prepared the gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they had heard that they were to eat there with him. When Joseph came in, they presented to him the gifts they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. And he asked them how they were, and then he said, "How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living?" They replied, "Our father is still alive and well," and they bowed down low to pay him honor. As they looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. After he had washed his face, he came out, and controlling himself, he said, "Serve the food." They served him. by himself, the brothers and by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other in astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was five times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Chapter 44. Now Joseph gave these instructions to the steward of his house: fill the men's sacks with as much food as they can carry, and put each man's silver in the mouth of his sack. Then put my cup, the silver one, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack, along with the silver from his grain. And they did just as Joseph said. As morning dawned, the men were sent on their way with their donkeys. They had not gone very far from the city when Joseph said to his steward, "Go after those men at once, and when you catch up with them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid good with evil? Isn't this the cup of my master drinks from, and you use it as, and also uses for divination? This is a wicked thing you've done.'" When he caught up with them, he repeated these words to them. But they said to him, "Why does my lord say such things? Far be it from your servants to do anything like that. We even brought back to you from the land of Canaan the silver we found inside our mouths, the mouths of our sacks the first time. So why would we steal silver or gold from your house, from your master's house? If any of your servants is found to have, he will die. The rest of us will become my lord's slaves." "Very well, then," he said. "Let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave. The rest will be free from blame." Each of them quickly lowered his sack to the ground and opened it. Then the steward proceeded to search, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. At this, they tore their clothes. Then they all loaded up their donkeys and returned to the city. Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves down on the ground before him. Joseph said to them, "What is this you have done? Don't you know that a man like me finds things out by divination?" "What can we say, my lord?" Judah replied. "What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my lord's slaves. We ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup." But Joseph said, "Far be it from me to do such a thing. Only the man who was found to have the cup will become my slave. The rest of you go back to your father in peace." Then Judah went up to him and said, "Please, my lord, let your servant speak a word to my lord. Do not be angry with your servant, though you are equal to Pharaoh himself. My lord asked his servants, 'Do you have a father or a brother?' And we answered, 'We have an aged father, and there is a younger brother born to him in his old age. His brother is dead, and he is the only one of his mother's sons left, and his father loves him.' Then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down here so I can see for myself.' And we did, and we said to my lord, 'The boy cannot leave his father. If he leaves, his father will die.' But you told your servants, 'Unless your brother comes down with you, you will not see my face again.' When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him what the Lord had said. Then our father said, 'Go back and buy a little more food.' But we said, 'We cannot go down, only if our youngest brother is with us. We cannot see the man's face again unless the youngest brother is with us.' Your servant said to my father, 'You know that my wife bore me two sons. One of them went away from me, and I said, he has surely been torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. If you take this one from me too, and harm comes to him, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in misery. So now, if the boy is not with us when we go back to your servant, my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up by the boy's life, sees that the boy isn't there, he will die. Your servants will bring the gray head of our father down to the grave in sorrow. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please let your servant remain here as my lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return to his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father." Wow, that is remarkable. That Judah poured himself out that way. Judah, who, you know, we learned a couple chapters ago, last week, sinned, right? He slept with his daughter-in-law, Tamar, thinking she was a prostitute. But, you know, again, he shouldn't have done that anyway. And then, you know, he did not live up to his word by having his son marry Tamar. You know, just a lot of things. But here he is. He's actually stepping up. He is being responsible and honest and faithful to his father, Jacob / Israel. Chapter 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." What a great foretelling here, huh? Chapter 6, 7, and 8. I'm going to read that again. "For 2 years now there has been great famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Of course, that remnant was required to get down to Christ, right? So Jacob to Joseph were remnants of Christ. And Joseph, very maturely and very spiritually, and knowing that God is with him, is accepting of the fact that he lived in the land of Egypt now, originally for a couple of years as a prisoner, and now the last 7 or 9 years, I guess, as a as the Pharaoh's right-hand man. All that had to happen for his family to live and for there to be a remnant. Verse 8, "So then, it is not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all that belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt, and about everything you've seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping, and he kissed him, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's place that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for all your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because all the best of Egypt will be yours.' So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, 'Do not quarrel on the way.'" So they went up to Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt. Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry them back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, I am convinced. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Chapter 46. So Israel set out with all of that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifice to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision that night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again, and Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts that the Pharaoh had sent to transport them. They also took with them all their livestock and the possessions they had acquired in Canaan. And Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt. He took with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons and daughters and granddaughters, all of his offspring. These are the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob and his descendants who went down to Egypt. Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, the sons of Reuben, Hanok, Palu, Hezron, Carmi, the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Johar, Shaul, the son of the Canaanite woman, the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, Merir, the sons of Judah, Er, Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But Er and Onan had died in the land of Canaan, if you recall, that's who Tamir had married. The sons of Perez, Hezron, Harul, the sons of Issachar, Tola, Pua, Jashbub, Shimron, the sons of Zebulon, Sered, Elon, and Jahil. These are the sons of Leah had born to Jacob in Paddan Haram, besides his daughter Dinah. These sons and daughters of his were 33 in all. The sons of Gad, Zephron, Haggi, Shuni, Esbon, Eri, Arodi, and Areli. The sons of Asher, Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, Beria, their sister was Sarah, the sons of Beria, Heber and Machil. These were the children born to Jacob by Zilpah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Leah, 16 in all. The sons of Jacob's wife Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, and Egypt Manasseh and Ephraim were born to Joseph by Anasseth, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. The sons of Benjamin, Bela, Bekar, Ashbel, Ger, Nam, Ea, Rosh, Mepun, Hupin, and Ard. These were the sons of Rachel, who were born to Jacob, 14 in all. The sons of Dan, Hushim, the sons of Naphtali, Jozeel, Guni, Jezer, Shilim. These are the sons born to Jacob by Bilhah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Rachel, 7 in all. All those who went to Egypt with Jacob, those who were with his direct descendants, not counting his sons' wives, numbered 66 persons. With the two sons he had been born to Joseph in Egypt, the members of Jacob's family, which went to Egypt, were 70 in all. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and his father's household, "I will go up and speak to Pharaoh, and will say to him, 'My brothers and father's household, who are living in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds. They tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what is your occupation? You should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then you will be allowed to settle in the regions of Goshen, for all shepherds are detested to the Egyptians. Chapter 47. Joseph went and told Pharaoh, my father and brothers with their flocks and herds and everything they own have come from the land of Canaan and are now in Goshen. He chose five of his brothers and presented them before Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked his brothers, what is your occupation? Your servants are shepherds, they replied to Pharaoh, just as our fathers were. They also said to him, we have come to live here a while, because the famine is so severe in Canaan, and our servants' flocks have no pasture. So now please let your servants settle in Goshen. Pharaoh said to Joseph, your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen. And if you know of any among them with special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramses, as Pharaoh had directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their children. There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was very severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain that they were buying, and he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is used up. Then bring your livestock, said Joseph. I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock, since the money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep, their goats, their cattle, and donkeys. And he brought them through that year with food in exchange for all their livestock. When that year was over, they came to him the following year and said, we cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to you, there is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land. Why should we perish before your eyes, we and our land as well? Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and with our land we will be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and the land may not become desolate. So Joseph, I'm going to go ahead and stop there. We're almost out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Please be sure to listen again next week. We hope that you've enjoyed our program. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired. Reflections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Again, that's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. May God be with you this day and every day. Peace to you and those you love.